He says, this is the hand of God orchestrating the signs in the heavens. The final four blood moons are signaling that something big is coming, something that will change the world forever. But the bigger question is, are we watching and listening? What are they telling us? What they are telling us is that God is getting ready to change the course of human history once again. He is preparing to display the next series of signs in the heavens. What is going to happen? So I have some questions that I would like to raise to you today. Does the Bible say anything about blood moons? I want you to make your own decisions, okay? I want to make your own decisions. Forget about what you might have heard so far. And I'll give you my opinion as we go on. But these are just some questions I want us to consider. Are the four blood moons a harbinger, or are they just hype? Are they signs, or are they sensationalism? Will America face judgment in 2015? Because Brother Hagee said that if America does not repent before 2015, God is going to judge America. Is the world racing toward Armageddon? Is there any hope for the future? What are prophetic signs of the times? Are they important? Should we be looking for them? How do they relate to what's going on? Simply stated, prophetic signs of the times are current events that foreshadow future events predicted in the Bible. Signs of the times are like signs on a highway. They point to us of what's ahead, what lies ahead. They indicate what's coming. Signs of the times are not fulfillments of prophecy per se, but they are events that indicate the future fulfillment of prophecy. And when it comes to understanding or discerning signs of the times, there are three basic approaches. Approach one is skepticism. Many people today feel that it's just foolish and speculative to even consider signs of the times. They consider it a colossal waste of time and energy and an unnecessary distraction to the Lord's coming. They grow weary and cynical of talk of the end times. I mean, after all, they've been talking about the end of the world for centuries, millenniums, and it's not happened yet. And part of the reason I think people have become skeptics is because of date setting. So many people have set dates and said, you know, the Lord's going to return at such and such a time, and it hasn't happened. And it makes Christians look foolish, and it makes the skeptics even more skeptical. But even Christians today are skeptical and say, I don't think we should study prophecy at all, although 25% to 27% of the Bible was prophecy when it was written. So if you're going to not study prophecy at all, well, then you lost a quarter of the Bible right there. Approach two is sensationalism. Almost everything is a sign. And I'm sure that you've heard preachers and prophecy guys do this. They'll take any event that's currently happening in the world and they will say, this is a fulfillment of prophecy. Richard Swenson writes, hysteria brings fire to the eyes and acid to the stomach. Hype brings notoriety. Sensationalism brings a tabloid kind of success. But every earthquake, every flood, every new advance in technology, every rumble in the Middle East is an earth-shattering sign that Jesus is coming. So for the sensationalists, they believe that signs are everywhere. And the third way to discern the signs of the times is the approach of stage setting. And this is the one that I hold to. Some major development in our world today, developments in our world today, are discernible signs of the end times. It's kind of a mediative view, because you see, this view maintains that the events of the end times cannot occur in a vacuum. There has to be some buildup, or there has to be some setting of the stage, some paving of the way before these events unfold. We look at future events predicted in the Bible, and we look at current events, and we say, you know, these current events are lining up toward what the Bible says is going to happen in the end times. We're not saying that it's definitely the end of the end of the end, but we're saying the signs point to the biblical template of what it's going to be in the last days. We don't read the Bible in light of the headlines, but we do read the headlines in light of Bible prophecy. The convergence and the acceleration of many events is what leads me to believe that the stage is being set for the end times. Since the rebirth of Israel in 1948, and even more so in the last 20 years, our world seems to be heading fast forward. But stage setting is not date setting. I believe that nobody knows, as Jesus said, the time of the Lord's return. I don't think we know even the decade, let alone the year, the month, or the day. Nobody knows how long it's going to take for God to get everything ready. But the convergence and the acceleration of these signs should stir an urgency in our lives. Someone wrote this. I'm not Shakespeare. I'm not really a big Shakespeare fan or buff of his writings, but I thought this illustrates this pretty well. So the setting of the world stage for future end time events can be illustrated by picturing a theater where preparations are made for production. Suppose a seasoned drama critic enters a theater one evening not knowing which of Shakespeare's masterpieces is to be presented. Before the curtain goes up, he's taken behind the scenes. On stage is a castle with fortifications looking out over a wooded countryside. At once he knows he will not see Othello, which is set in Venice, or Julius Caesar, which begins with a street scene in Rome. He knows he will not see Macbeth because although there is a castle scene in Macbeth, the play opens not with the castle but with witches gathered around their cauldron. Finally, our drama critic notices two soldiers with shields bearing the arms of the King of Denmark. He sees two other actors dressed as a king and a queen. There is an actor who is supposed to be a ghost. No one has to tell the critic what he will see. Based on his knowledge of Shakespeare and the clues he has seen, he knows it will be Hamlet. In the same way, today, God's people sit in the theater of the world, events awaiting the curtain call of God's apocalyptic drama. We don't know when the play will begin, but like the drama critic, we know much more about it than most. Many stare at the future as a huge curtain. For them, the future is veiled because they have no idea of the plan of God, and they can't see behind the curtain where one act is being set. For believers, however, we see behind the scenes. While it is true that we don't know the moment when the play will begin, we do know the play itself, the main characters and events, and can sense it beginning as we see the actors starting to take their places on the great world stage. That is the approach of stage setting. And before we get to the specifics of the Blood Moon's prophecy, let me give you a peek behind the curtain. Can I do that? Let me give you a peek of what the coming attractions are. First of all, is this thing that we call the regathering. The most prophesied event in end times passages in the Bible is the return of the Jewish people to their homeland. Event number two is the vanishing. Someday, any day, perhaps even today, the world will be shocked by the rapture of the church, the sudden removal of every Christian from the world. The event will traumatize and change the world forever in an instant. It's prophesied in 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18, among many other passages. By the way, there are no signs for the rapture. The rapture is imminent. It can take place at any moment. The signs are for the second coming. When we see there's a difference in the rapture, the Christian is caught up in the clouds to meet Jesus in the air. The second coming is when Jesus literally comes back and sets foot upon earth, and the raptured saints will come with him. But if we see signs being that for the second coming begin to happen, then we know that the rapture is even that much closer. And then there's the reuniting. In the aftermath of the rapture and the inevitable chaos, people, as you can imagine, will be desperately searching for answers. Somebody to make some sense out of all the confusion that is in the world. And the Bible talks about 10 leaders, who we might call a group of 10, will rise up from the area of the historic Roman Empire, and they will begin to rule, or they will be the committee that begins to control things. Event number four is the calming. You know how everybody wants peace in the Middle East? All attempts at lasting peace in the Middle East have failed miserably. By the way, did you read last week where the United States of America's leader, John Kerry, say that Israel is in danger of being an apartheid state? You know, to me, these are some huge signs that we are coming to the end, because the Bible says that in the last days, when Israel is warred against, there will not be one person that stands with, not one nation that stands with her. But anyway, somebody will need to will bring peace in that region. Incredibly, the Bible predicts that it will happen, but it will be a temporary kind of peace. And it's just a prelude. It's a staging ground for other end time events. In event number 5 is the invading. In the wake of the peace agreement and its guarantee of security, Israel will let down its guard for the first time in modern history. Seeing this vulnerability and their chance to strike, see if these countries sound familiar to you. Russia, Iran, and several Islamic nations will devise a plan to storm Israel. Number 6, the deifying. You heard about a guy named the Antichrist. The Antichrist, in an act of daring, brashness, and blasphemy, will defy himself and command the worship of the world. He will sit on the throne in the new temple of Jerusalem, proclaiming himself to be God, proclaiming himself to be the Messiah. Number 7, the judging. The 7-year tribulation will include a series of almost inconceivable catastrophes outlined for us in Revelation chapter 6 through 19. Number 8, the fighting. Culminating this series of divine judgments will be a world war of unprecedented proportions. Hundreds of millions of troops from all over the world will gather for a gigantic world power struggle centered in the land of Israel at a place called Armageddon. You guessed it. That's what the real Armageddon is about. Event number 9 is the coming. When the armies gathered at Armageddon see the sign of Christ coming, they will foolishly turn their hatred against him. Man's stubborn rebellion against Christ will reach its apex, but of course resistance will be futile. Jesus Christ will come back in power and glory from heaven, escorted by millions of angels and raptured Christians. And that event is vividly described in Revelation chapter 19, verses 11 through 21. And event number 10 is the reigning. After his enemies are destroyed, Jesus will bind Satan in the abyss so that he can establish his glorious kingdom of peace and righteousness on the earth. And he will reign for 1,000 years, which we often refer to as the millennium. Somebody said, if you want to know what happened yesterday, read the newspaper. If you want to know what happened today, listen to the evening news. If you want to know what will happen tomorrow, read the Bible. Events in our world today are unfolding just as we should expect in light of biblical prophecy. More and more, our times are beginning to mirror the biblical image that the scriptures set forth as the end times. And as we have discussed, these events point to something else. That's why they're called signs. Signs of the times. And so the central question before us is, what are the signs that portend the Lord's coming? Or more specifically, according to our topic today, what do the 4 blood moons, if anything, that are going to take place in 2014 and 2015, what part do they play in God's plan? Are they the final 4? Are they a signal that something dramatic is going to happen that will change our world forever? But what is a blood moon? What is a blood moon? I don't know if you can see that real well. Hopefully you can see yours better than I can see mine back there. A blood moon is the result of a total lunar eclipse. According to NASA, a lunar eclipse occurs when the Earth lines up directly between the sun and the moon. Right there. The earth lines up directly. Front of the moon, blocking the sun's rays and casting a shadow on the moon. As the moon moves deeper and deeper into Earth's shadow, the moon changes color before your very eyes. Changes from a gray to an orange or deep shade of red. And the reason the moon takes on this new color is because indirect sunlight is still able to pass through the Earth's atmosphere and glow, cast a glow on the moon. Our atmosphere filters out most of the blue-colored light, leaving the red and the orange hues that we see during a lunar eclipse. NASA has given us this picture, triple image of the blood moon during the total lunar eclipse of July 16th, 2000. So the blood moon theory is based upon four main ideas. Number one, signs. Number two, science. Number three, scripture. And number four, significant events. Let's look at these. First of all, signs. Genesis chapter 1, verse 14, and God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years." And I realize today that as we discuss this, I might actually be giving you more questions than you came with. But nonetheless, I think it's important that we look at this. Luke chapter 21, verses 25 and 28, "Then there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for redemption draweth nigh." Science, this point is simple and straightforward. Astronomy confirms that four blood moons will occur in 2014 to 2015, and they will fall on the two Jewish feasts of Passover and Tabernacles in succession. The scriptures that they use are there. There's mainly five of them, from Joel, Matthew, Luke, Acts, and Revelation. Joel says that the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and the terrible day of the Lord come. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, verses 29 through 31, "Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other." Luke says, "And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves." Did I read I read that one last time, didn't I? I read the wrong passage last time. Let me back up and read Matthew for you. I'm sorry. "Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun shall not be shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other." Acts chapter 2, verses 19 and 20, "And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord." And one last scripture is Revelation chapter 6, verses 12 and 14. "And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell upon the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it was rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places." History. The first tetrad occurred in 1493 to 1494, 1 year after the edict of the expulsion of the Jews. It was signed by King Ferdinand of Queen Isabella in Spain on March 30th, 1942. What it did was the edict banned Jews from Spain if they failed to revert to Catholicism. So it was either convert or get out of here. The year before the Trechet of 1493 and 1494, Columbus sailed to America, paving the way for the rise of the United States, which became a haven for the Jewish people for their perpetual persecution. The second Trechet was in 1949 to 1950, 1 year after the founding of the modern state of Israel on May 14, 1948. The infant nation was attacked on every side by the surrounding Arab states, Egypt, Jordan, Iraq, Syria, Lebanon, and Saudi Arabia. The Jewish War of Independence spilled over into the year of 1949. We know what happened there. The third Tetrad transpired in 1967 through 1968. On June 5th through the 10th, 1967, Israel fought the famous Six Days War. And again, the Jewish people turned a tragedy into a triumph. And so the prophecy is saying that when these blood moons occurred, something significant happened with Israel. And they tie these to the feast. For lack of time, I think I'm just going to skip over talking about the Jewish feasts. We can talk about that some other time. How's that? And although it's important to their prophecy, the blood moon prophecy, I still want to skip over it. But there's the four blood moons, the tetrad. It's only occurred three times in the last 500 years. All right. Let me give you some thoughts by others of why this may not hold as much weight as some people think. And again, you can decide. The first treachery occurred in 1493 to 1494, 1 year after the edict of the expulsion of the Jews, as we said, and not in the exact year. Now, here's what Danny Faulkner said. A key problem related to the four blood moons as God's high-definition billboard is that much of the world won't even see them, especially the part of the world they're supposed to impact. How can something be a global sign that something is about to change, or a divine billboard announcing coming events, as Hagee asserts, if most people in the world are unaware of it? There's also a question of from what portion of the earth one ought to view these eclipses for them to constitute a sign. One might think that Jerusalem would be a key site, but the first three total lunar eclipses in 2014 to 2015 won't be visible from there, and only the beginning of the final eclipse will be. He concludes, not actually witnessing these events, but instead just knowing that somewhere some sort of solar eclipses are happening seems to fall far short of being specific and spectacular signs of end times. Jack Kelly points out that of the previous series of lunar tetrads, only the one in April 1950 was fully visible from Israel. Four others were partially visible, and the rest were not visible at all. Since these are being touted as signs to Israel, you might wonder why they weren't all visible there. Mark Hitchcock said, in contrast to the lunar tetrad of 2014 and 2015, the cosmic portents in Scripture will be visible and unmistakable to everyone around the globe. When Jesus returns to earth, his coming will be dramatically heralded by cosmic signs. The limited visibility of the blood moons works against the idea that they are a sign of some dramatic change. Moreover, proponents of the blood moon's prophecy maintain that the first lunar tetrad that fell on the Jewish feasts of Passover and Tabernacles occurred in 1493 through 1494, before modern means of communication. I wonder if people at the time, in that time, in the parts of the world where the blood moons weren't visible, had any idea they were even happening. Something can't be a sign if you never see or know about it. Can I give you my take here? And I know you love me, and you'll love me afterwards, all right? So and you can feel free to disagree with me all you want. I don't care. My feeling is I disagree a little bit with John Hagee. And you know, who am I to disagree with somebody like John Hagee? I will show you from Scripture that I don't think you can make the Scriptures fit. Do I think that he might be right, that something might happen in Israel in the next couple of years? He might be right. Something might happen. But I'll tell you what, we don't need a blood moon to have something happen in Israel. Something could very well happen, but I don't necessarily think it's because of the blood moons. But this is going to be hard to prove, because you know that the Middle East is a powder keg, and you know that there's things going on in Israel all the time. Something could very well happen, but how are we going to know it's because of a blood moon or not? My thinking is that we need to be on the alert and ready at all times. And we should at all times be looking for the Lord's coming. Let me just share a little bit of my thoughts. Some people argue that the Bethlehem star, like the blood moons, was limited in visibility to only the wise men, just like the blood moons will be visible only in some parts of the world. But we have to remember that the star that came over the manger where Jesus was not meant to be a global sign. It was meant for the wise men to follow so that they could come to where Jesus was and worship him. Whereas the signs that point to the Lord's second coming are intended to be global. I have nothing against John Hagee or Mark Biltz. In fact, I love John Hagee. He is a tremendous preacher of the gospel. He preaches the truth. He's a lover of Israel. But I think he's taken this just a little bit too far, because I don't think he can really back it up from Scripture. And the view that I hold, that the star, let's go back to the star, that appeared was not a heavenly body or a natural phenomenon, but was a supernatural shining created by God to bring the wise men to the Savior. R.C. Sproul supports this view. He said, the other possibility is that the star that led these men to Jerusalem and then to Bethlehem was a specific creation by God for this particular event, something like the Shekinah glory cloud that led the people of Israel in their wilderness wandering. I think it would be very difficult to follow the tale of a comet or even an inordinately bright conjunction of two planets to Jerusalem and then from Jerusalem to Bethlehem. I suspect that this is another account of miraculous work of God to guide the men to the proper place. Likewise, darkness on Calvary that enveloped Calvary for the 3 hours that Jesus hung there, that he suffered on the cross, I believe was a supernatural darkness. Some of the things that I've heard is that, well, there will not be another series of four blood moons for another 500 years. Our world will not last that long. You know what my thinking is? My thinking is God's going to do supernatural blood moons, supernatural signs in the heavens. He doesn't need to use these now just because now's the time when they are happening. Let me show you the Scriptures. In Joel chapter 2, verses 30 through 31, it says, I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood. Notice this part. Before the great and terrible day of the Lord. What was happening there was a great locust plague. For them, that was the day of the Lord. That was the day of judgment. And Joel goes on to talk about a greater army that is coming to the land of Israel during the end times. And he sees this locust plague as a picture of a future day of the Lord that will culminate in Armageddon. Whenever you look at prophecy, how many of you got bifocals? Some prophecy is meant to be viewed as something that's going to happen in the near future, like your bifocal, something that you can see close up. Sometimes prophecy has a dual application, which is something down the road, something in the future, something that can be seen at a distance off. But I want you to notice that at the same time the moon is turned into blood, there's going to be not only blood, but fire and pillars of smoke. I have not heard those that hold to the blood moon prophecy explain how all that will take place. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood. And I'm no scientist, and I'm no astronomer. But if the sun is dark, you cannot have a lunar eclipse. Part of the eclipse is that the light of the sun is being blocked by the earth. So I don't see how it can happen. Now, you would believe that the day of the Lord is the coming tribulation period. The whole tribulation period is called the day of the Lord. But notice here it says, but the terrible or awesome day of the Lord. And if you wanted to pick one day that is yet to happen, that's going to be the most awesome day in all of history, what day would you pick? I would pick the second coming of Christ. I would pick when the Lord comes back. The moon is going to turn into blood and the sun is not going to give its light at the second coming of Jesus. Joel 2, the earth shall be quake before them, the heavens shall tremble, the sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. Now, this passage is talking about, if you look at it in context, it's talking about Armageddon. Because Joel chapter 3 and verse 15 says, the sun and the moon shall be darkened and the stars shall withdraw their shining. You see this same thing in the verse right before it. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. That is the valley of Megiddo. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. We know this is talking about Armageddon. We know this is the valley of Megiddo because the book of Revelation quotes these verses from Joel. So the setting is the second coming of Jesus. In 2014 and 2015, it cannot be the second coming of Jesus because the second coming is going to come after the seven-year tribulation period, and we are not in the seven-year tribulation period. Now, to be fair to John Hagee and Mark Biltz, they're not saying that these verses refer to the second coming. They're not even saying what is going to happen. They're just saying something is going to be is going to happen. Okay? So to be fair to them, that's what they're saying, and I can go along with that. Although most people that you talk to, and it's no fault of John Hagee's, but they're saying it's going to be the coming of Christ. Matthew chapter 24. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Notice several problems here. First of all, Matthew 24, 29 appears to say that the sun being darkened and the moon not giving its light will happen at the same time. This makes sense since the moon merely reflects the light of the sun. If the sun is darkened, the moon won't give its light. If that is correct, then it can't be referring to the blood moons of 2014, 2015, because these blood moons, none of these will occur at the same time as the darkening of the sun or having a solar eclipse. A solar eclipse will take place on March 20th, 2015, but it doesn't happen at the same time as any of the blood moons. Second, I believe the sun being darkened and the moon not giving its light is a supernatural occurrence because, remember, Jesus said every tribe will mourn. Every tribe will see this. The whole world will see it. But it also says that they occur immediately after the tribulation of those days. Again, you got to look at the context in Matthew 24. These signs occur at the end of the seven-year tribulation period, at the time of his coming. Well, again, 2014, 2015 cannot be the time frame for this event because we are not yet in the tribulation period. The entire tribulation period must occur before Christ can return to earth in glory. And fourth, Matthew 24, 29 says that at the same time the sun is darkened and the moon does not give its light, the stars will fall from the sky and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. I've read and I've looked at the writings of these guys, and I cannot find an example of how the stars fall and the shaking of the heavens relate to the blood moon theory prophecy. And then in Luke 21, 25 through 28, and there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth distress of nations, with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draws nigh. Again, the heavenly picture that Jesus predicted will happen at the end of the time, called the Great Tribulation, as an immediate precursor to his return. And once again, the tribulation has not started yet, and it will last for 7 years from the signing of the peace treaty with Israel. It'll last 7 years from that time. And again, we're not into that yet. That has not happened. So nothing in 2014 and 2015, as far as I can see, can be a fulfillment of Jesus' prophecy. In Acts chapter 2, verses 19 and 20, "And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire, vapor and smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord." This passage quotes Joel 2, the terrible or the awesome day of the Lord. This is the day that it's looked at, the great and notable day. When will there be this sign? The other signs there in 2014 and 2015. And then Revelation chapter 6, verses 12 through 14, "And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places." Again, the timing of the passage is the Great Tribulation. The moon turning to blood is just one of six cosmic signs that are listed there. You have to look at it in light of the context. Somebody said that a text without a context is a pretext. I can make the Bible say anything I want to if I could just pick out a verse here and here and here. You have to look at the whole passage. You have to look at the context. And I don't know if the historical events even are as mighty or weighty as the first appears either. When I first thought about this, I thought, oh man, this really has to be something to this, because these blood moons fall on these Jewish feast days. But you know, only the last four blood moons had anything significant happen in the actual year of the blood moons. The two prior to this had significant events in the year following, but not in the year itself. And let me just caution you with this. Here's the reason why I'm making a big deal about this at all. Because I want to caution you against date setting. And I know they're not saying that the Lord is coming back in 2014 and 2015. I know they're not saying that at all. But we need to be able to tell people that, here's a way I would witness. If somebody comes to me and says, "Pastor, what do you think about those blood moons?" Or maybe they're not a Christian. Maybe they've just heard about it somewhere else. "Is something significant going to happen in the next 2 years?" You know what I would say? I would say, "I don't know for sure. I don't know. All I know is what the Bible says. And I know that the Bible says that the moon will turn to blood when Jesus comes back. And Jesus is returning. Are you ready to meet him?" You know, he could come, what I believe is the rapture, which takes place before the tribulation and the second coming of Jesus. So we might not be around here next year. What we need to do is make sure that people are ready today. Today. I don't want to live in any other way but in light of his coming. And that's what we need to focus on. Jesus could come today. He could come this very moment. We might be eating, fellowshipping together here in our fellowship hall, and the next moment be fellowshipping in heaven. And the unchurched don't understand all these things. They just hear the end. And so we need to be able to give them a clear explanation of what the end really means and what it's all about, and be able to share with them. So I don't know if anything is going to happen within the next 2 years. I really don't know. I just don't know that I think that the Bible supports it as much as some are saying. But something could take place. But I don't necessarily think it has to be a blood moon. I'm looking for Jesus. I'm not looking for anything else. But I do know that, yes, the moon will turn to blood. But a bunch of other things are going to happen too when Jesus returns. And the question is, are you ready? Are you looking for his return? And if you are, praise God. If you're not, get right with the Lord and begin to witness and share and talk with others about their need for Jesus. I'm afraid that people are going to look at it and they're going to, if nothing happens, they're going to look at it and say, there was another time when Christians were setting dates and nothing happened. And they'll look at us and they think we're silly and they'll mock us. So that's my best answer, is I don't know if anything will happen or not. But I do know by the scriptures that Jesus is coming again. Are you ready for that? Can I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed?